Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
This Sunday is Women's Day, and to mark that special occasion, today's podcast will be all about the power of women and sharing their stories with other women. And this book, so I was away in Geneva this week, and I'd taken this book with me for some reason. I don't know why I'd chosen it. I hadn't realised it was Women's Day coming up. And on the plane, I was reading it, and it's called What I Know Now, and it's about women sharing their stories through the power of letters, and they're writing to their younger selves, sharing the wisdom that they now know in their current self. And the letter format is really powerful, and not only for the people that are reading the book, but you realise through the author sharing the process of these people, the contributors to the book, how cathartic it was for them to also write and look back to this time when they were younger. And reading these letters, there are a variety of different women, really successful in different industries. But what's really great about it is it kind of unveils this place where it's almost like no frills. It's just very raw.
Raw and real.
Yeah. And I know letter writing is something that you have been doing, both letters to your past and letters to your future self.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see, for you to share the...
What it
the
does kind for of, me, yeah. Why I do it. Yeah, it's something that I started probably about 8 years ago. And I think it was a kind of blog exercise where you wrote a letter to your younger self, but there's also an exercise where you write a letter from your older self. And that I've found incredibly powerful. I often write, particularly when I'm going through times where I need a bit of guidance, perhaps some inner guidance and inner strength and support and love. And I imagine myself as an older, wiser, very loving 80-year-old version of me. And I think, you know, what would she say? And it's a great way of actually just tapping into that wise and kind of more connected and loving side of yourself that kind of stands outside of time. And the messages I get back are just amazing. And quite often it surprises me when I then look back at how much I understood of the journey, not just the journey I was on, but the journey I was about to go on. So I was telling you that the other day I'd written to myself as my 80-year-old self, and I had said, I know you're really happy now, and it's great, but don't be afraid of change because things are going to change. And that was probably a month before I found out I was pregnant. So I was just like, how do I even know this? But it's an incredible feeling. I've also written to my older dying self, sending messages of love and support. And I do also write back and sometimes just think back to times where I was really struggling when I was younger and send messages of support saying, you'll get through this and it's all going to work out okay. And this is, well, I know you're in pain, I know you're unhappy, you're going to learn from this. And don't worry, you are on a journey and you're going to get there. And I kind of call it love on loop. And one day I think when I'm really old, I want to gather all these letters together and sort of see the sort of journey that I've been on and going back and forth and writing to myself. But it is a way of kind of stepping out of yourself and giving yourself love and support and wisdom in a way that you wouldn't if you were just writing to yourself today.
Yeah.
And I recommend everyone give this a try because it's really beautiful, really powerful. And when you read back over the letters, they just keep giving. There's so much beauty in them. And like you say, you're speaking from, when you do that, you have no option other than to speak from a very raw and real place.
Yeah.
There's no point in pretending to be something that you're not because you're speaking to yourself. So why would you hide who you are, and actually you quite often come out being much more supportive and loving than you perhaps are to yourself on a day-to-day basis. So yeah, I love it, and I love these books, and they're amazing.
It's funny that the insight that can come out from taking a step back and actually removing yourself from where you are now, and oddly that we can't give ourselves the love and support that we need in the present. We sometimes have to look forward or look back to really, because it's within us, because it comes from us, but we almost need to have that different perspective to kind of unleash
Well, because sometimes you're so caught up in the emotion of it all, of what you're going through, and you're essentially, what you are doing is taking a step out of it, and then, you know, being able to either look back with hindsight or imagining yourself looking back with hindsight.
Yeah.
And coming from a different place and not being in the emotion of it all and the confusion of it all. And it's, yeah, no, you're right. It's, yeah, it's really powerful.
Okay, so we've chosen three women that we're going to highlight, and each, there's tons of letters in this book, and if you haven't read it, What I Know Now by Ellen Spraggins, it's just such a gorgeous read, because it's just a range of different stories and a collection of lessons really from these women, very powerful women. So we've chosen three to read out, and just pulling out the key lessons from these letters. So the first one is from a lady called Eileen Fisher. So she's a clothing designer, entrepreneur, and she says to herself, the key message is, you don't have to be afraid of living alone. And she runs this large fashion company, and she's found that journaling, meditation and yoga really helped her to reach a sense of inner peace. But she kind of lost her way a bit, and she describes this situation with a boyfriend where she was deeply unhappy and depressed and felt trapped in the situation that she was, but she felt like she didn't know where to go next, and she felt like having a boyfriend was better than being on her own. And she says to herself in this letter, the space you're searching for isn't physical. You need psychological space. You need to know that you can be alone, that you should be alone, but you're afraid to be. Why are you so scared? You feel you have to have a boyfriend, and without one, you feel incomplete. When you have one, you feel defined as a person. But Eileen, that's a trap. What I can see almost 30 years later is that you need time with yourself, not a friend or a beau to figure out what your thoughts and feelings are. When you sit with yourself alone, you can't ignore them. They come screeching at you. The only way to the other side is through it. You may have to go through pain, but on the other side is the good stuff. You don't have to be afraid of living alone.
Oh my God, I love it. Oh, it's so good. So good.
You can imagine other people that have been in that situation hearing a woman like her share her struggles, incredibly successful and powerful. And you think, okay, it gives me reassurance first that I'm not the only one. And it encourages...
feeling like that, even these powerful women do, yeah.
And encourages other women to come forward and say, yeah, I've been really struggling with that as well, and I'm going to be vulnerable and be okay with being vulnerable. I'm not going to be like, you know, wanting to pretend that my life is really perfect. Yeah. You know, it's really encouraging.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, we talk about the whole finding a new narrative for women is hearing from these powerful women who've really got out there and written their own story in life and really played a big game, and hearing how, like Susan Sontag's a great one for this one, hearing how, you know, they've hit those moments of pain and they are fragile and they do sort of long things, and that they've all been through those journeys as well. It's really reassuring, but it's also very special to hear people writing like that to themselves. It's kind of, you know, getting into their world, being let into a sort of very private space of them and themselves, and getting a look in. It's really good.
And the fact that they're all equal, that they all have different levels of experience, and one of them is Macy Gray, and the fact that every single one of these letters is raw and real. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you've got celebrity status or how much money you earn.
Like, yeah,
these
exactly.
Some of these companies, like billion-pound companies, but they're willing to share their story just as much as anyone else. The second one, I can't pronounce her surname, but I'll have a go. Jane Kaczmarek.
I don't know.
So she's an actress, and you might have heard of her, if you can understand that surname, from Malcolm in the Middle. And she was saying she didn't even want to go to the audition when the part came up, but she really wanted to renovate her kitchen. Her bathroom. So she decided, oh, I'll take the audition, maybe that will get me some work so I can pay for the bathroom. But it obviously ended up being much bigger than that. And she said the custard pie has brought Jane 6 Emmy nominations in a row, and a smart idea about recycling designer gowns. So it's called Clothes Off Our Back, where they pull in celebrity dresses after they've worn them at the Oscars. So like Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, Charlize Theron, and they auction them off and raise money for charities.
And well, she does that.
Yeah. Yeah, she started that company, Clothes Off Our Back. And she says to herself, I won't read the whole thing because it's quite a large one, but one of the key things she says is, the reason you've gone out with too many guys and dumped too many guys is that you're afraid you're going to see who you really are. And if they do, they might reject you. Hitting bottom, which you're doing now, hurts like hell. But I promise you that some of the best things in your life will come out of it. You'll learn that it's okay to be vulnerable and really okay to say, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. You'll develop a taste for the happiness you can have from just living a life from mundane, everyday pleasures. And the best lesson of all, you'll find you can like people and let them into your world, even if they aren't big success stories. Because of that, someone different will enter your life. He won't have the trappings of success that you used to think you needed to have in a man. On your first date, he'll ride you home on the handlebars of his bike because he has no car and can't afford to hire one. But he's really funny, smart, has amazing integrity, and because of this horrible year, Jane, you'll be willing to pay attention to the guy you're going to marry from a happier future you.
Oh, I love it. So good.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Everyday pleasures as well is lovely because it shows that happiness doesn't come from all the money that you've got and all the success that you've got. Mm. And it's the small little simple pleasures that make you feel...
That make up happiness.
Yeah. Okay. then the last one, there's just one really key element in this. So this is from Jerry Laybourne, who is CEO of Oxygen Media. And... She's got a great story to tell. She was at Nickelodeon before. She was at Disney as well. And then she decided to start Oxygen, which is a cable TV channel for women. And she has these five golden rules within her letter. And the fifth one is really key. It says, rule number five, above all, remember to be your own best friend. Turn off the radio station in your head that points out your failures. Love, Jerry.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. And that's a really key one because when you, the internal dialogue that you have in your head about your failures and your flaws can be very powerful at times, and you just want to like turn the radio station off or like change the channel or just turn the volume down. And that's something that comes up in my coaching at times where you manipulate this voice and you change the voice of it, you change the accent, you turn it down to a whisper.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
The shitty committee in your head.
Yeah. So now we thought we'd finish off by sharing a lesson that we know now and share that with our younger selves.
Yeah.
So do you want to go first?
You want me to go first? I knew you would. Okay, well, I wanted to think back to a time where I was probably feeling quite sad and lonely and wondering if it was ever going to happen for me in terms of finding love, because most of my adult years were spent wondering that and lamenting the lack of. So I was like, which year should I choose? But I've chosen about 4 years ago when quite a lot of sadness and loneliness was coming up, even though other areas of my life were great and had really good friends and all the rest of it. I was loving how I was living, but there was this underlying kind of constant sort of stream of sorrow and sadness and loneliness. So my message to myself would be to stop looking for someone else to complete me. Actually, similar to what one of those women was saying. Stop looking for someone else to complete me and to make me happy and someone to bring love into my life. That this time is for healing and returning to love. And by that, I mean the love you find when you go within and face your fears and your demons and the dark stuff you don't want to look at. To get help healing that and clearing the blockages that are stopping me from experiencing love. To give it time, this is not a journey to be rushed, and to really invest in my own healing, and that life won't always feel this hard, this sad, or this lonely. I want to send a message back to her that one day she'll look back and be so grateful that a knight in shining armour didn't come and rescue her, because she's going to get to be the person that rescues her. And when that happens, she'll find a source of love and strength within her that will transform all her relationships in her life and open her up to meeting a man that also comes from a place of love and strength. And she'll be so happy she waited, not for a knight in shining armour, but for a real partner in life and love.
Oh,
so that's my message to me. See, I fucking love it. I love writing these messages. So for those of you listening, definitely recommend that you go and have a go at writing a message like that, because it's just, I should do it every day.
So powerful. You should print that.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I'll appear on the blog very soon. I'm appearing on a blog near you. What about yours?
So I was thinking, which moment am I going to choose? And weirdly, a memory came up from when I was little. So I think I was about 7 or 8. And my mum and I would go to this local athletics club. I think we used to go 2 or 3 times a week. And she would play... She would do long jump and throw the javelin and run. And I mean, I'm not a sporty person at all. And so it's weird even thinking that I used to actually be athletic. It's more my mum's influence. And I used to go along and I was really fast at the 100 metres. So they put me forward to run and represent the team. And I was like, okay, right, I'll go for it. And then I was winning, running this race, winning. And my mum was standing like about 3/4 of the way through. And at the minute I saw my mum, I just stopped. And I just ran to my mum and she was like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be, you were fucking winning. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just like, it's almost like I didn't feel comfortable with winning. Like, yeah. I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
And looking back, I'd like to tell myself to start that race again, but go with the kind of the belief that you can do something and win it, and that when you win, you should be really proud that you've won something and really stand tall
and enjoy that moment
and enjoy it, yeah, and celebrate it, and don't be afraid to be seen, because I think back then it was just like I didn't want the attention or something. I don't know what was wrong with me. It's like I didn't have that competitive streak to really go for it. And so I want to tell myself, just go for it, believe in yourself and be seen.
Oh, so cute. And what I love about that is that there will be that little child is still in you.
Yeah.
And so even though it feels like, well, I'm saying it to myself back in time, you're actually saying it to a part of you now that probably... still is that little child in you. So it's, amazing. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. So cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we really recommend you taking the time out to just pick a moment in time where you would like to write to yourself. With the wisdom that you have now, write a letter to that younger self and just see what happens. Just have a go. Just like put half an hour aside, just start writing things down. And just see what comes out, because you really could surprise yourself. And then, if you want, share it with us. And the more people share these stories, the more it empowers other women. So it's very powerful.
Yeah, that is the final piece, actually. It's the sharing part.
Yeah. Dare to share.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes. And we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.